So this is where I want to begin this week's class. Last week we were talking about Avraham's perception of martyrdom as integral to the universe. V'chein chayav liyod, and it has to be like this, ki kein chayav ha-mitzvus, because reality makes this happen, ki tzimtzum bo yizborach, because there was a tzimtzum, a constriction, so to speak, in God. In the beginning of Sefer Yetzirah, we talked about how God experiences desire, the ratzon, the simple desire. And that simple desire is ultimately a experience of emptiness. What is desire? It's an experience, you know, it's something I don't have. Right? And each of us, we know what that feeling is, you know, of that empty space inside. And so God had that desire for us, and that's what brings creation about. But that is the tzimtzum that it creates as it were, like a lack in God, something missing. She'ein tzimtzum exer she'kav yochel nasa tzorech le, because you can't get a greater constriction than God allowing himself to feel a need, like an empty space inside. She also mokem lahargish reikonis, because God made a place to feel emptiness. She kedugmas ein va'efes, that feeling of emptiness is like as though God's, as it were, created ein, created nothingness inside, and a darkness inside himself. Why? What's the purpose? Lekadish shmoy b'rabim, because God wants to sanctify his name in public, meaning Osu li mishkan v'shachanti b'soichom. God says, make me a dwelling place, make me a sanctuary, make me somewhere holy inside yourself. And that was the purpose of creation. She'anachnu oisim loy mokoim migdosh b'toichene. We make God a holy place inside us. But the truth is that God didn't need it. Like it says in the book of Job, if you do righteousness, what are you giving? If you give tzedakah, what are you giving to God? God needs something from you that you... What? So God didn't need us. Didn't need... Even though God created in himself that need, but it wasn't necessary. So God, so to speak, when he damages and hurts himself with the constriction, so to speak, it is a voluntary. It's not commanded. And we were learning last week that wherever a person hurts himself, even Al-Kiddush Hashem, if it's not commanded, then it requires atonement. And that Avraham, you know, we have a medrash that Avraham threw himself into the Kivshana Esh, into the fiery furnace, in the time of Nimrod, when he was still a child in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And the Gemara says that he wasn't saved in his own merit, that he was saved in the merit of his grandson. So we were talking last week, how come he wasn't saved in his own merit? And the answer was because he wasn't Jewish at the time, and he wasn't commanded to die Al-Kiddush Hashem. And if a person martyrs himself when he's not commanded to, that's a sin. And also last week we were talking about Rabbi Akiva, and how Rabbi Akiva ended up dying a martyr's death. But really, if you look at it halachically, the act for which he was arrested wasn't commanded in the Torah. There was a law they passed that you're not allowed to do public teaching of Torah, and he insisted on teaching in public. You know, where does it say in the Torah you have to die for teaching in public? Right? So one of the ideas that I wanted to put forward last week is that God's, so to speak, self-wounding, the tzimtzum, can only be atoned for with another like itself, which was Avraham, who allowed himself to be martyred even though he wasn't commanded. And ultimately it comes to Rabbi Akiva, the first of the great martyrs, you know, in our history of martyrdom, which goes back to 2,000 years, we have the story of the 10 martyrs, of whom Rabbi Akiva was, as we've been learning in this Sefer Yetzirah, he was, so to speak, like the Temura of God. He was in place of God. And Rabbi Akiva himself wasn't commanded to martyr himself for that particular issue. So there seemed to me that there's something in this in Jewish martyrdom that we're really just recreating the original trauma of God, who creates the world through constriction, tzimtzum, of the divine self. And so in a sense, in modern terms, martyrs himself to create the Kiddush Hashem. And so we, in order to sustain creation, keep on martyring ourselves again and again and again. And so there's a problem. Every time a person hurts themselves on Kiddush Hashem when they're not commanded to, it's a great thing, but it's a sin and it has to be atoned for. And so then we end up atoning for it with the same thing. And so here we are, Rabbi Akiva has died this great martyr's death, but you know something, it's not finished, because now somebody else has to die to atone for Rabbi Akiva, and it doesn't have an end. And I wanted to say that this is the question that God says to Avraham. In the future, God is going to say to Avraham, your children sinned to me. So I want to say, what is the sin? The sin is that they died al Kiddush Hashem when they shouldn't have. So Avram says, now we can understand Avram's answer. Well, if they died al Kiddush Hashem because they shouldn't have, well, the only way to expiate that is for others to die al Kiddush Hashem. So that's why he answers, Yimochu al Kiddush Hashemecha, let them expiate that sin with others. You know, you might ask, how could Avraham, according to what I'm saying, you know, that doesn't make sense. Like, Avraham would agree that killing yourself for God is a sin, you know, that needs to be atoned for. Like, where would he get such an idea? So I wanna tell you that there's actually a medrash. V'loyhuk shilei l'Avram klal. Avram didn't ask, you know, as we find in the Torah with the story of Sodom, right? Avram says, hey, hashoifet kol ha'oretz lo yaseh mishpat. Is it right that the judge of the whole world shouldn't do justice? And so he prays for the people of Sodom, right? So how could Avraham accept that people get punished for doing something that they should do, which is for dying al Kiddush Hashem? How could Avraham accept that there's a punishment for it? So I wanted to bring the Medrash. The Medrash says, the story of the Akedah, right? They're on the way. Vayomi Yitzchak el Avraham Aviv. Yitzchak says to his father, Avraham. Vayomi Avi, he says, father. So the Medrash stops there because there's too many Vayomis. There's too many, and he says, and he says to his father Avram, and he says, father, and he says, here I am, and there's too many he says. So the Medrash says, there must be some other dialogue that's going on here in a subtext. What is it? So the Medrash says like this, Boloi Samel Eitzel Avraham Avinu. The angel, brother Satan, he comes to Avram and he says to him, Saba, old man. Hey, old man, Ibadet to Libach, have you lost your heart? Ben Shinit Nechalukuf Shono, Atahoylech Leshochte, a child that was given you after all that crying and all that davening, you're 100 years old when he was born, and now you're going to shechti, you're slaughtering him? Have you, where's your compassion, you know? And Avraham says, Amonoskin, Avraham says, don't bother me. I I accept, even so, that God gave me this child and expects me to kill him. So listen what the Medrash says. Satan says to Avraham, L'mochar oimelecho shoifech dam. You know that tomorrow God's going to call you murderer. At chayev, and you're guilty, sheshafachto domo yishol bincho, that you spilled the blood of your son. Yeah. What does Avram argue back, right? The Satan, it says, today God tells you to kill him, but you know tomorrow he's going to punish you for killing him. You're a murderer. Avraham doesn't argue with Satan the way he argues with God there back there with Stone. He doesn't think, ah, no, it couldn't be. God wouldn't do such an injustice as to punish me for killing my son if he... He doesn't. He says, Almanos Cain. He says, sure, that's okay with me. You see, we sometimes think that we're Jews because we accepted the Torah and we came out of Egypt and so on. I mean, we don't stop and think where we've really come from. We come from Avraham and Sarah, you know. It's astonishing when we think of what Avraham meant when he said, Hineni, here I am. He really meant it. He didn't say, God, you know, I'm here provided you, you know, gives, and he gives God a laundry list of things that he needs. He doesn't do that, right? He doesn't say, you know, God, I really love you on condition that there were no conditions to Avraham's love of God. And he was so free of Avodah Zarah, he was so free of paganism, that he was completely without any bias, without any opinion, without any fixation or projection of who or what God should be. When Samuel says, you know, today God told you to kill him, tomorrow he's going to call you a murderer and he's going to say, I'm going to punish you for killing your child, Avram doesn't say, nah, that doesn't sound like my God. He says, that's okay with me. I don't tell God who to be. God tells me who to be. I have no opinion. I don't see what's right and what's wrong. So that matters to me. That's really important. It's crucial to understanding how Avraham Avinu can accept that his duty is to die al Kiddush Hashem even though it's wrong, and that he's going to get punished. It's a very interesting idea. What I want to say that now is that Yitzchak comes along and breaks the chain. He says, you know, it doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. Yitzchak Avinu comes and he says, you know, I don't accept this whole martyrdom thing. Yitzchak says, you know what, if my father would have killed me, that wouldn't have been a Kiddush Hashem. Nobody would have said God's name is sanctified. That's not what we want. You know, if the Akedah, you know, we read the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah, you know, it's like the horn of Mashiach is going to be the horn from the ram of that kid. It's all very nice. But you know why it's very nice? Because it never happened. Had I been killed, Yitzchak says, that would have been a Chilal Hashem, the opposite of a Kiddush Hashem. It would have been a desecration of the name of God. In Issa B'Medrash, as we learn in the Medrash, when Avraham Avinu stretched out his hand to pick up the knife to slaughter his son, Bochu Malachei Hashoreis, so the angels, the ministering angels, started to cry. Hainu Doma, and that's what it means in the Pasuk in Isaiah, where it says, Hen Er Elim Tzoaku Chutza, the ministering angels, they shouted outside. Mao Chutza, What's the word outside? What does it mean they shouted outside? Rebazari oimer chitzu ksiv. It doesn't say chutza outside, it says chitzu, meaning it's bizarre. That's what they were shouting. The angels were shouting, Rebbeinu Shelam, this is so bizarre. Chitzahi brei lemechas yas brei. Beria lemechas yas brei. It's totally, what's going on? This is so gross that a creature should be slaughtering his own son. So had Avraham been allowed to go through with the Akedah, it would have been disgusting. And God would have, it would have been a Chilul Hashem, right? So now, Yitzchak comes to God, and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, Im ha-meimis atzmoy ha-kiddush Hashem le-loi tzoyrich ha-bidlo onus le-havik k'choyvel ba-atzmoy, if somebody who allows himself to be martyred when he's not commanded to, is considered to be somebody who's hurting himself, v'zehu ritzoyn chodavka, and this is what you want, im kain, there's never going to be any end. Like this, it's a wheel which keeps on going round. To have a mitzvah, a gurera's mitzvah, because one martyrdom will bring around another martyrdom. One mitzvah drags another mitzvah. And one avera, and because it's not a real mitzvah to do, so therefore it's an avera, and an avera drags another avera. If we can never pay the bill, imkein muchruchani. If so, I'm obliged to say, K'moshe Om Avram Ovi, like my father said, Sheyimochu Avonos HaKiddush Hashem, go on, expiate the sins by killing more, by more Kiddush Hashem. V'chol mis v'ina HaKiddush Hashem, and any death, any martyrdom that's done HaKiddush Hashem, sh'loi nitvaka l'halocha, which the halocha doesn't demand, Yuchoyev oid mis HaKiddush Hashem, will oblige another one, it'll bring another one, in order to expiate it. I'd serve Kala Doiris for Kala Kitsin, and it will keep on going until all the end of generations, until the end of all times. But Yitzchak says, V'hala Yoisehar b'choviv l'fanecho hatzolas meshomois. But God, you much prefer saving souls, mimi sosa malkiddush Hashem, than souls dying as martyrs. D'ho afri tzovil l'fanecho, because my ashes are there in front of you, Kedi isa b'kama duchta, as we learn many places in the Gemara and in the Medrash. Kedi isa b'toris koyanim, and as we learn in the Sifrot, it says, Lama nema b'Avraham b'Yaakov zechira. Why does it say, and I will remember Avraham, and I will remember Jacob, but it doesn't say, I will remember Isaac. B'Yisak lo nema zechira, sh'ki'ila afri tzuvra gaba mizbech, the Medrash says, it's because it's as though Yitzchak's ashes are there on the altar in front of God all the time, so God doesn't need to remember, he doesn't need to recall the way he does. Oh, v'zuchati lemez brisi Yaakov, v'afiz brisi Yitzchak, v'afiz brisi Avram ezkor. So it says, by Yaakov it says yizkor, and by Avram it says yizkor, I will remember, but by Yitzchak, the Gemara says, doesn't have to remember, because Yitzchak's ashes are right there in front of God all the time. But wait a minute. Yitzchak didn't actually die, right? Avraham really got thrown into the Kifshan Ha'esh, but his ashes are not there. So Yitzchak says, "Im ani shelo nishchatati, if I who was not killed, nizke kizchus lo ilomim, I get remembered forever as a merit. Va'avi, my father, shenich shlach li Kifshan Ha'esh, shakudush shemcha nechshiv lechoyav, and my father who allowed himself to be thrown into the furnace is considered to have damaged himself and wounded himself, and he's guilty. I'm obliged to argue with you against allowing even a single soul of a single Jew to be taken in another act of martyrdom in Kiddush Hashem. And with our own eyes, have we not seen Ubiyomenu in our days, Hoyumurois, there have been stories and events, Shahumsu Oilulim Vyoin Kishadaim, that children and nursing infants were killed. Shalainitzdavo Kadish Hashem, they weren't commanded to sanctify the name of God. Lalofim, thousands of Revivois and tens of thousands of Rishayas Rishayim in the Holocaust. V'im dinhu, and if you tell me that there's a law, shekol mishmeis al-kiddush Hashem, that anybody who dies for the sanctification of the name of God, v'dilo onus, who wasn't forced to by the halacha, yichayev oid kapora, that's going to require something to atone for it. Ma'ayin nikach oid kaporas, where are we going to take so many kaporas? L'chape al domam shel elu hanishpach shelo kedin, to atone for all these who died when they weren't commanded to. Venerally, it seems to me, she'etzim tamis yitzchaku, the real meaning of Yitzchak's argument with God is Shaharigas Echad Misrael Hu Chilul Hashem She'ein Kamoyu B'chol Ha'olam. The killing of a Jew is not a Kiddush Hashem at all. It's a Chilul Hashem. It's not a sanctification of the name of God when a German or a Muslim kills a Jew. There's no sanctification. It's a Chilul Hashem. It's a desecration. As though Isaac himself had been slaughtered on the altar, and it would have been such a terrible thing. It's gross for God, as those angels argued, to allow such a thing in his name. If there's such a chutzpah yet in the world that one of the Gentiles could let Lahorim Yad al Yehudi, the fact that there anywhere in this world, on this globe, on this planet, there still exists a Gentile who can lift his hand against a Jew, it's the biggest chutzpah. It's the biggest chilul Hashem. It's the ultimate desecration of the name of God. It means that those Gentiles don't even accept that there is such a thing as a God and a people of God and a representation of God on earth and a Shekhinah. I mean, the fact that a goy can lift a hand to a yid means that it's a desecration of the name of God. It's not a Kiddush Hashem. And that's, and the Mishnah says, Be'ikfasu de Mashiach chutzpah yaske, when Mashiach comes, in the time of Mashiach, chutzpah will be tremendous. People will have no shame. And to me, the ultimate meaning of that is that Goyim can still lift up their hands against Yidden. If you think about our history, it's like every Goy should be ashamed of his own parents and his grandparents' history of how he's treated the Jewish people. And it's a chilul Hashem, right? And here, I want to explain what it is that Yitzchak does to bring about the end of times. The Gemara says, "Umechavel hu Yitzchak Hakadosh Baruch Hu be'einayu." Yitzchak shows the Jewish people God with their eyes, not with his eyes, right? How can you see God? Ki Yitzchak heitzitz b'shchina b'shasu akeda. Because we have a medrash that Yitzchak looked at God at the moment of the Akedah, when his father was lifting up the knife to slaughter him. Right? At that moment, Yitzchak's eyes were opened and he saw God. Ulam kedisa b'tikunei Zoya, we learn in the Zoya, lebosu d'ahava ozlim ba'archim, they were walking on the road, Rav Shimon v'chavrai, Reb Shimon and his friends. Sholule, they asked Reb Shimon, Amai kadnofik yenuka mimei ime ihu inui stimin. Why is it, they said to him, when a baby is born, his eyes are closed? Omaloi, he said to them, Reb Shimon Bayuchai said to his chevre, Vadai do irozo, you should know definitely for sure that this is the mystery of Vatichenu ein of Mirois. It says by Yitzchak, when he got old, it says that his eyes grew weak from seeing. And Yitzchak's eyes were weak for the same reason that a child is born with its eyes closed. Be'ilun maris t'ischaziu lei b'mei imoy. Because Yitzchak, when he was at the Akedah, he saw things that are only visible to a child in the womb of his mother. Because in the womb, a child is allowed to see Kama Nehoirin, all the many lights, Kemat Chama Yecheskel B'Merkava, like the prophet Ezekiel saw in the Merkava. V'kol Yenuka Achzian Leike from Darge, and every child who's born is shown the light of the source from where he himself comes. Achazile Masadi Nishmose, every child in the womb gets to see the source in the divine from where he's coming. So later, if that child will work at the Torah mitzvahs, so that place from where his neshama is taken starts to shine, become a nishmosin. And the child will later be allowed to see how various merkava chariots, it's like whole divine panoply just unfolds, because the child, if you develop and you learn the Torah and the mitzvahs, in other words, if you spend your life learning, you will recover what you knew in the womb. Va'ulfin le'kolei reisen, in the womb, you learn the whole Torah. V'ishtadol ba, and if a person learns the Torah afterwards, you remember everything that you were taught in the womb of your mother. And what is it that you were shown? You were shown all those lights from of the divine place that your soul comes from. And then afterwards, the baby is shown the other place, the darkness. What's going to happen if you don't keep the Torah and you don't learn what you agre, in order to, that there should be an idea of reward and punishment. And so when the child is born, its eyes are closed because there's closure. That's what Reb Shimon tells his students, why a child is born with the eyes closed. But the first part of Reb Shimon's response is, you've asked me a good question, because that is what happens to Yitzchak. Why vatichenu enov merois? Why are his eyes grown weak from seeing? Because he looked at the Shekhinah. When he was lying there at the Akedah, he looked at the Shekhinah. Maybe he wasn't ready, or maybe it's something that you can see before you're born, but once you're born, you're not really allowed to look there again. What I want to say from this teaching is Shebe Yitzchak yesh koich lehistakel al ha-shechina shebetoichoi. Yitzchak has the ability to look at the Shekhinah inside himself. And this is what we were learning previously. We mentioned last week from the Mishnah in the Bahir, Lev Hushloshim Mishtaim, that the heart is the letters Lamed and Beis, which is 32. V'hoyu Stumim, and they were closed. Behem Nivru Olam, and with them the world was created. And the Mishnah said, My Lamed Beis, what's 32? Amalei Lamed Beis Nesivois, these are the 32 pathways. And if you remember, this is how the first Mishnah of the Sefer Yetzirah began, with these 32 pathways of Chochmah. Moshe Lamelech, a parable of a king, Shehoye Bechadrei Chadorim, who was inside these rooms, inside rooms, Uminyan HaChadorim Lamed Beis, and there were 32 rooms, 32 chambers. L'kol Chede Yesh L'Nesiv, and each chamber has a pathway. No'el Lamelech Zeh L'Ikonis HaKoy Bechadoroi, is it right that this king, anybody can have access to the king and enter his chambers through the pathway? Amres Loi, you said no. You see, Yitzchak Hoyeloi HaKoyach Likones L'Toy Chadrei Chadorim, Isaac still had the ability to enter into the rooms, inside rooms, and to access God, L'Histakel B'Chvoido Yisborach. Because as we were learning earlier in Sefer Yetzirah, there are two ways of seeing God, right? I can look out at the world and see God in the world, in the sunset and in the forest and in the beauty, and that's chesed. There's another way of seeing God, and that's to look inside myself. And when that happens, it's terrifying, because I see the divine inside myself, and I feel the closeness and that of the Shekhinah. And that was Yitzchak, because Avraham had prayed to God to reveal himself in the world, and God said, okay, and gave him his son Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the revelation of God in the world. Yitzchak was able to look inside himself and see God. Quite frankly, it was as simple as that. V'zehu ha-chochma shelimei doisonu. And this is the wisdom that Yitzchak was able to teach us. Shegam bonu oid yesh ha-koyach hazeh k'disu b'gemara. Like, we still have this ability. Every person still has the ability to see God in himself or in herself. And that's why the Gemara says, Miyad yinosu einehem, immediately they raised their eyes, Lamoraim on high, Va'oimrim, and they said, Ato Elohim, you are God. Avinu, our Father, Goyaleinu, our Redeemer. Me Oilam Shemecha, this has always been your name. Shehu ha-ge'ula, because that's the redemption. Seeing God, that's the ultimate redemption. The soifa tachlis legalgal achoyz, and that stops the wheel, this karmic wheel of martyrdom and death, and martyrdom and death. Sheteve oid misa, because every martyrdom demands another martyrdom to atone for it. Because Yitzchak breaks that wheel. How? Shemechaveluhu Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu beinayu. Yitzchak shows us God with our eyes. Uksiv, it's written, Ki lo yirani odam v'chai. A person, God says, nobody can see me and live. So at that moment where we see God, Bo'isei rega mamish mischayvim misa al ha'abota. At that moment when we see God, we deserve to die. Because you're not allowed to see God. You can't see God. That's like the condition for seeing God is death. So at that moment, it's a new kind of death, al kiddush Hashem. Because it's the revelation of God. It's not a hiding. Vinegonim, at that moment, when we look at God, instead of dying, we are redeemed. Kizuhu ha-matora u-megamosa yizborach be-briyas olam. Because that's why God created the world in the first place, to be seen. That's the Kiddush Hashem. Not the dying by some Roman setting fire to you on a bonfire. That's not the Kiddush Hashem. That kind of Kiddush Hashem demands another one and another one and another one. The real Kiddush Hashem is seeing God. And as soon as we see God, yes, we deserve to die, okay? But that's the Kiddush Hashem. But as soon as that happens, then God says, ah, wait a minute. That was the reason I created the world. If God is revealed, if everybody can see God, then there never was any tzimtzum, was there? We said that the original tzimtzum was, so to speak, God creating darkness inside himself in order to create the world and project and so on and so on. But if everybody sees God, that's the Kiddush Hashem that God meant. Then there was no tzimtzum, there was no darkness. God is visible. D'lois ma'at oire, because his light hasn't been reduced. D'be'einenu mistaklim, because we're seeing. V'royim oisei yizbarach v'loi chova ba'atzmai, so that God didn't, so to speak, hurt or damage himself. V'einu tzuch kapur, no. If he didn't, then there was no real tzimtzum. If there was no real tzimtzum, then there's no need for a kapara, an atonement. Because God's goodness is now out there in the world. And his name has now been sanctified within the Jewish people, as we talked above in the Torah from Rabbi Lemelech, and nobody has to die. Venerally, I add here, Sheyesh gam sefer miyuchas liyitzchak avinu. Somewhere there's a book, just like the Sefer Yetzirah is credited to Avraham Avinu, somewhere there's a book that's credited to Yitzchak Avinu, and it's parallel or opposite to the Sefer Yetzirah. Because, you know, in this we've been learning in this story really of Avraham Avinu and Rabbi Akiva and then Rabbi Elimelech. You know, Rabbi Elimelech says as soon as you start to feel pleasure, you have to sort of jump in the fire and say, I would rather die al Kiddush Hashem than enjoy this pleasure. But you know, Yitzchak Avinu says, Aseli matamim kasher ohavti, make me food like I love, tasty, vehevioli, bring it to me, v'oichela, and I will eat it, ba'avut v'recho nafshi, in order that my soul should bless you. Yitzchak wasn't afraid of enjoying food. He wasn't scared of delicacies. Began bezivugoy, and even when he was making love with his wife Rivka, our mother, right? What does he say? Avimelech looked from the window, vayishkaf. It says, and he saw, and Yitzchak was laughing. He was playing with his wife, and then he calls Yitzchak and says, how dare you tell me that she's your sister? Because he could see the way they were playing. The Torah doesn't say they were being sexual, it says they were playing, mitzachik. So Yitzchak wasn't afraid of laughter, and he wasn't afraid of food, and he wasn't afraid, right? I want to add one more thing. This is the final paragraph here. Ve'ika, the main thing that we have to learn from the story of Yitzchak, Lilmeid memene she'osu behechlid, is absolutely forbidden lahaskim, to agree, k'mo yiskimu Avraham Avinu v'Yaakov Avinu, to agree the way Avraham the patriarch and Jacob the patriarch agreed, she'yomis, that a Jew should die, or ye'abed, or should be lost, or ye'unah, should be tortured, al kiddush Hashem, for the sake of the sanctification of the name of God. It's absolutely forbidden to agree that one Jew should be lost or hurt. At the level of there's no sense in the elders and there's no advice in the young. That the chief sanctification of the name of God, Yovoi mizeh shiyiru shiyirenu niflois, that God will show us miracles, ki meitzeinu me'eretz Mitzrayim, like those days when we came out of the land of Egypt, v'yiskadol shmei rabo, and his name will be sanctified and magnified, alidei Yeshuas Yisrael, through the salvation of the Jewish people, bichlal, in general, ubifrat, and in every particular. Amen. May it be so.